Namaste. Welcome back to Rishikesh. Welcome to our podcast for today. Today is day 4 of our 7-day Rishikesh Yoga Challenge. Mm-hmm. And we are so excited to be here in the beautiful Beatles Ashram. We're currently sitting in one of the little meditation huts in this beautiful ashram. And as you can see, it's decrepit and it's beautiful. It's filled with beautiful artwork everywhere. And hopefully you joined us for this morning's practice or today's practice, whatever time it is for you. Today's practice was a simple seated kind of restorative hatha practice along with pranayama. So it was about 10 minutes of asana and 10 minutes of pranayama. And I love this style of practice. It gives us an opportunity to like condense the potency of our practice into, you know, something that can actually fit into our day. It's not overwhelming, it's not taxing on the body, it's actually very nourishing for the body, and that's what asana should be. So we wanted to have a chat about that style of practice today, and we wanted to have a chat about pranayama practice today. So the way that we teach, and if you've done any training with us or if you've practiced with us online or in the studio, you'll notice that we have a few different styles of practice that we teach. And the reason for that really is because we want yoga to be something that's all-encompassing. We want yoga to be well-rounded. We want our yoga practice to serve us no matter where we're at in our life, what stage we're at in our life. If you're female, what stage your cycle you're in, or if you're a working person, or if you're someone who's on holidays, if it's morning time or night time, if it's summertime or winter time, we want there to be a practice that's adaptable and that you can do that will serve your needs. And so this style of practice is kind of restorative lunar style of practice. It's one of the styles that we teach. And usually we'll do it on kind of a rest day, an off day. We'll do it as an evening practice before bed. We'll do it in a time where we don't want too much fire, where we don't want, we don't want too much stimulation. We want to nourish the body and get the body relaxed, but not too relaxed. And even further on from that, today's practice was like a seated practice specifically. And I think it's beautiful seated practice because we actually don't need as much room to do a seated practice. Paige and I were using one mat between the two of us, and we didn't stand up and we didn't do anything on all fours. It was purely seated, which just makes it so accessible. So if you think about someone who doesn't have the same mobility as us, someone who's you know, bound to a chair, or someone who can't get up and down from the floor, someone who's having trouble walking, you could put them in a chair and they could do that very same practice. And so this seated, like a seat-based practice, gives us a very adaptable style of practice that allows us to really introduce anyone to yoga practice. So that's number one. Number two, for me personally, I am someone who has a tendency to want to work hard in practice. And so not always do I want to be doing a yin practice with no stimulation, where I'm just sitting in a passive pose for 10 minutes. And this kind of gives me a bridge to wind myself down after a big day of work. If I'm, you know, feeling very stressed, gives me some simple movements that I can do that can kind of wind me down into a meditation practice.
You can really meet people where you're at after a busy work day or a busy social day. And yeah, like Aaron kind of alluded to, sometimes it can be hard to just drop into stillness. And that's not always the way that we work, and that's not always super accessible for people. So offering, this bridge between almost like a stressed or sympathetic nervous system state into a parasympathetic nervous system state is so important and so imperative, and one of our favorite things to
do. And so practice like that could be a really good practice to lull you into something like yoga nidra, or you know, like we did, into a deep pranayama practice. You could have done that pranayama laying down or something like that. It kind of becomes that bridge. And I like how you said, meeting people where they're at. If you've had a crazy day, you're not just going to go and plonk into a yin shape, because it's going to be just like there's still so much mind and movement going. So we have this kind of bridging practice. It's the off-ramp on the freeway, as I like to say.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that was our physical part of our practice. And so I hope you enjoyed it.
Mm.
And if you have any comments, if you've not done it that style of asana practice before, let us know.
Mm,
drop
sure.
us a comment and let us know how it was. And then pranayama. Pranayama's, I was almost going to say like pranayama's my love child. Pranayama's like one of my most dearly held aspects of the yoga tradition. I just think it's so powerful.
What does pranayama mean?
Yeah, so pranayama is one of the eight limbs of yoga, the Ashtanga yoga that was laid out by Maharishi Patanjali. So we have yama niyama, which is our lifestyle, our kind of code of ethics. We have asana, which we're all familiar with, the postures. Then we have pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So pranayama is the fourth limb of yoga, and it means to control your breath.
Mm.
But the word prana is the word that they use for energy.
Mm.
It's the word that they use. It literally means that which animates.
Mm.
So it's that which animates your body. If there's no prana in your body, then there's no life in your body. So prana is life. Breath is life. Anything that breathes is alive. We breathe. The trees breathe. The animals breathe. There's this circular economy of gases on the planet, and it brings the intelligence of nature into our bodies, into the trees, into the earth, into the animals and the plant life. And so pranayama is a way of controlling, of directing, and of connecting to and expanding our capacity to contain that nourishing, life-giving energy.
That's a good way to put it.
And the age-old saying is that where awareness or attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea of pranayama is that when the prana is scattered, the mind is scattered.
Mm.
And so if we can bring prana into our conscious awareness, if we can start to concentrate on prana, the breath, if we can start to control and slow the flow of the breath, simultaneously we'll be able to begin to slow the thoughts, slow the mind and calm the mind. And so we can do a lot with pranayama. We can use pranayama to get exactly almost to the point the same benefits as exercise. You know, like we could do a 45 minute or hour pranayama session and have the same benefits in our body physiologically as going for a run. And we can use pranayama in many different ways, and it kind of is what takes us from the physical form of yoga practice into the more subtle.
Yeah, and it really is a science of breath, as Aaron was kind of alluding to. Then there's so many different results we can achieve through the practice. There's so many states of awareness we can move towards through different pranayama techniques, and that's really what it is. It's a science, and there's so many different techniques, and we go into it a lot in our trainings and our workshops. But just to give you a very brief overview, we have brahmana techniques, we have langana techniques, and we have samana techniques. And so brahmana is that which heats up, that which speeds up, that which kind of brings energy into the body and moves things around. Would you agree?
Yeah. So it's energy moving faster.
Yeah.
Heating up.
Yeah.
What would be a brahmana pranayama technique?
What do you guys think?
We did one yesterday.
Kapalabhati. Kapalabhati is a good one, and also the Bhastrika that we do like this.
Yeah. And you'll find that when you do those kind of techniques, it brings energy into your body. You feel energized, you feel warmer. It starts to promote blood flow and that kind of stuff. So that's brahmana.
Yeah, and then we have langana, which is all about bringing energy down and grounding and calming the body and the nervous system and the mind. And we can do that through extended exhale techniques. So breathing in for four, breathing out for eight.
The
Shitali pranayama.
Shitali that we did today.
With
breathing through the tongue is cooling, and you can feel it. cooling. Mukha Bastrika is kind of forceful, but it is downwards, so potentially.
It's kind of like in the middle.
When we start to slow energy down, we're working into Langana. And then we have
Samana, the final category, I guess. And if you're aware of the vayus, the pranavayus, or the winds of vata, Samana is all about centeredness and balance and harmony. And that really is the essence of Samana or pranayama techniques, is that which cultivates the state of balance. So Nadi Shodhana is a good one, creating balance within the nadis, within the channels in the body.
And Samavriti, also Samavriti, what we did today.
Which we did today, yeah, the four in, four hold, four out, four hold, and many more. But that's just like a very quick overview about the three different styles of technique and how you can start to observe pranayama techniques, whether you're being taught in public classes, whether you're just learning on the internet like with us. But you can start to view the techniques that you practice in this through this lens, and it starts to make a little bit more sense of when you can apply them.
It makes it really simple. It's like, okay, well, how do I feel now? What's the quality of my awareness now? And am I feeling energetically like overwhelmed, anxious? Is energy very fast? You know, do I have a lot of energy? Okay, well, I can use the Langana technique to slow my energy down, to ground myself. Am I feeling lethargic, tired, sleepy, you know, very slow? Well, can I use a Brahmana technique to speed my energy up? Am I feeling balanced? Can I use a Samana technique to really solidify that balance? And ultimately, what we're looking for is balance. We're looking for Samana techniques. And the Brahmana and the Langana techniques are used to move us from one end of the spectrum back into the center.
Yeah, for sure.
And so you'd notice that whatever kind of style of practice we're doing, wherever we're leading you, if we're leading you toward a practice that's going to be stimulating and we're going to be doing things, we'll start with a Brahmana technique. We'll start to build energy and then we'll get into our practice. And then we'll finish with some even ratio Samana, finding balance. Similarly, if we wanted to bring you down and ground you, we would start with some Langana techniques, some extended exhale, some cooling breaths, and we would finish with the balancing. So the idea is that we can use this system of breathing techniques to find harmony no matter where we're at in our life. And I've always really liked that notion of energy in its tangible form, like just thinking about, okay, how do I feel right now? Do I feel like I have high energy? I have a lot of energy. I'm like bouncing off the walls. My mind's going crazy. Okay, can I ground myself? And on the opposite end of the spectrum, am I tired? Am I sleepy? Am I lethargic? Do I feel like I have no energy? Okay, well, how can I get more of that?
And it really becomes, this science, this mathematical, you know, solution, or as somebody else put it to me recently, poetry. And it's a very interesting concept, because in studio with us and online, but mainly in studio with us, you will see us and how we create practices dependent on who we have in the room. And we ask all of our students to let us know how they're feeling in one word at the beginning of practice. And then if you watch very closely, once we've heard all the words, you can see our brains just like going into overdrive to create
maybe yours.
To create this this perfect practice that is all-encompassing and suitable for the individuals that are sitting in front of us. And I think that is, a really powerful way to practice yoga, to share yoga, to embody yoga.
Yeah, and the yoga system is really asking of us to move and understand, move through and understand the five bodies. So we have our physical body, we have our energetic body, then we have the mind, the mental body, and then we have the body of knowledge, we have the body of bliss. And so pranayama, being the succession of asana, allows us to step out of the body and into the world of energy, into the world of mind for meditation. It's kind of that bridge between body and mind. And you'll notice at the end of most classes, I'll say something like, thank you, body. Thank you, breath. Thank you, mind, for allowing me this experience of my humanity. The mind and the breath are considered best friends, and their home is in the body, right? You can think of it like that. Maybe they're even lovers, and they always want to do everything together, And eventually they want to come back together after a long day and go home for a nice, deep, nourishing meal and a rest.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So as we start to bring our awareness to our breath, we start to link those two things together, mind and body. Mm-hmm. They start to unite. As they move together, the mind has no option but to be quiet. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to think about anymore because it's uniting with the breath. Mm-hmm. As breath and mind move together within the body, then from that silence, we can start to move upwards into a deeper experience of who we are.
Mm, for sure.
Yeah, we can start to tap into intuitive wisdom through our practice. And so my hope is today that we've inspired you in some way, if you don't already, to take up some kind of pranayama practice. And maybe we could give some just simple examples of someone who is just beginning this journey, or someone who hasn't spent a lot of time doing pranayama. Where would they start?
You're asking me?
Yeah, why not? Where would you start them?
I think just like finding your natural rhythm of breath is powerful, and just bringing awareness to breath. One of my Ayurveda teachers has this take pause activity where you basically set an alarm 3 or 5 times throughout your day at random times. And no matter what, when that alarm goes off, you have to stop what you're doing and take 10 really deep breaths. And by doing that and kind of breaking your day up into those points where you start to become aware of your breath, it, you know, starts to become subconscious, so that more often you become aware of your breath, even without the alarms. And more often you're sending the breath deeper rather than when you're just having to do it in a class setting, for example. I think that would be one of my top tips.
That's a beautiful one. And then my top tip would be to stop breathing through your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're doing those 10 deep breaths. But for the rest of your day, you bring awareness to when am I breathing through my mouth, and how can I close my mouth, bring my tongue up to the roof of my mouth, and breathe through my nose. Mm. There's so many benefits to breathing through your nose. Mm. So that would be, for me, a point to start, breathing through your nose.
Yeah.
So you set that alarm. Few times throughout your day, you stop, you take 10 breaths through your nose, you come back to center, you let go of everything else, and then you can go on with your day.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then onward from that, you could think about starting a formal seated practice that goes in turn with your asana practice. Maybe you do a little bit of your asana practice, whatever you have. Daily practice wise, maybe it's a couple of rounds of Surya Namaskar or a couple of standing postures, whatever postures you like to do. You take your Shavasana at the end, and then after your Shavasana, you could do this in a public class setting as well. If the studio that you go to doesn't offer pranayama with the classes, you could come up from Shavasana, you could take your seat, whatever comfortable seat works for you, so long as you're open and you have access to your lungs. And then you just spend 3-5 minutes focusing on that slow and deep nasal breathing. And I think that's really all it is. It's like it has to be your own exploration.
Mm.
And so many students that we have and our teachers in the studio, I watch them, and the longer they practice, eventually the asana practice will kind of like plateau perhaps. And what tends to happen then is there's this deepening of their awareness of the breath. And so long as you're practicing and you're focusing your attention on your breath, what you'll find is that awareness of the breath will blossom, and it will become something that is so unique and so special and so individual to you. And so, yeah, the advice is just breathe intentionally.
Yeah.
So often, well, all the time we're breathing, but very little, well, not many people actually spend time like consciously breathing. So.
Because we're not taught.
Powerful practice. Yeah, very powerful practice.
Totally.
All right, then.
Cool. Well, hope you enjoyed this little chat. I hope you enjoyed the practice so far. Yeah, we're up to day 4. Complete. Check that off your to-do list. And so, yeah, we only have 3 days left of this challenge. So keep watching, keep exploring with us. And we hope you're getting so much out of it, because we love sharing this with you all. And if you're interested in practicing with us more or further on, we do have an online yoga studio on our website with over 200 practices. And we also have opportunities to study with us both online with a short 100-hour Hatha training deep dive into why we practice the way we do and how we share the way we do. So if you kind of like this chat, there's a lot of this kind of stuff in our 100-hour.
Hours of it.
Or if you're interested in actually studying with us in real life, you stay tuned and you can actually join us in Rishikesh next year, 2023 and beyond, for yoga teacher training, for retreats, immersions, whatever it is that kind of tickles your fancy. We'd absolutely love to have you join us.
And if you live in Melbourne, maybe you come and visit us in the studio, even if just for one class or a training or whatever's going on.
Yeah. If you're enjoying this, like, let us know, comment and reply to us, send us messages on whatever platform you use. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love to hear that this is benefiting you. And if you have any suggestions or ideas of anything else you'd like us to cover, further on from this challenge, then let us know. We'd love to hear.
Okay. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Much love.